Today, let's start with a word of prayer. I forgot to do it last Friday or last Sunday. I don't even know what day it is anymore. Brenda, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that each day we awaken in your presence, that you're ever there, Father, to reveal yourself to us and for us to even deepen our relationship with you. So, Father, we ask that in this gathering today that you be glorified and that you speak to our hearts and we receive that which you want to speak. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here you can cut your...
Amen. Well, welcome to Sunday morning chit-chat.
All right.
So, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. We talked some about that last week, and I want everybody to just jump in. We're going to do some reading on this paper that Oscar left for us. Revelation 2, 11 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And I'd kind of like to read that out of the mirror first. And he says, "Now listen up with your inner ears. Hear with understanding."
That's good.
Yeah, what the Spirit is saying to the ecclesia. Those who discover their identity in me. That's who they. He is calling the ecclesia or the called. According to his purpose. Those who discover their identity in me. That's a big step. "He that triumphs," and then in parentheses it says, "in their fearless embrace of my revelation life." Okay? "He that triumphs will know that there is no judgment in the second death." And then it goes on, and this is in parentheses as well. "Remember, the one talking is the one who became dead and was returned to life. And said, 'Behold, in death, I will personally crown you with life. In my death, I redefine your death.'" That is fantastic. We died with him. We rose with him. You know, we were buried with him in our baptism. See Hebrews 9:25. "Neither was it necessary for him to ever repeat his sacrifice. The high priests under the old shadow system stood proxy with substitute animal sacrifices that had to be repeated every year." Hebrews 9:26, "But Jesus did not have to suffer again and again since the fall of the world. The single sacrifice of himself in the fulfillment of history now reveals how he has brought sin to naught," to nothing, the big nada. That's not it. "The word kataboli means cast down. God's Lamb took away the sins of the world." Hebrews 9:27. "The same goes for every one. God's Lamb took away the sins of the world. The same goes for everyone. A person dies only once, then faces judgment. In Hebrews 9:28, Christ died once and faced the judgment of the entire human race. His second appearance in his resurrection has nothing to do with sin, but to reveal salvation for all to fully embrace him." To fully embrace, and then it says some big Greek word there, that is apodekomai, from apo, away from, that which defined me before, and ek, out of, away from, and out of, and dekomai, to take one's hands, to accept wholeheartedly,
wow,
to fully embrace. In his resurrection, he appeared as Savior of the world. Sin is no longer on the agenda, for the Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. So that changes everything about the second death. For some, the first death is the death of the body. But for us, and the others also in reality, the first death is the death of Christ on the cross. And we can no longer be harmed of the second death. Go ahead.
I think what he wrote in his notes, you guys got copies of these?
Mm-hmm.
On the very first one on 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I think in that verse right there, second death's done away with.
Uh-huh.
Because we're new creatures. And, I mean, that's the way I feel about it. That said, all things have become new. Mm-hmm. And then it says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, we know that actually we've gone into, I'm trying to figure out exactly how to say it. We've gone beyond the teaching ministry into the ministry of living reconciliation. See, we can teach it all we want, but we're called to live this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're called to live this, we don't have to worry about the attempt to live it, because Christ in us is more than willing to do that which you've done. So he's willing to fulfill it. And it said, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I think we don't know that. It says we're a peculiar people and a royal priesthood, in case you want to know. And this is what it means. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that ye be reconciled to God. This is a joint adventure. It's that harmonious in one in body. Mm-hmm. Whew, what a thing. What a thing. I got to believe that we're one of very few, and I'm not saying like whoever said it, and God told them, no, they said, you're one of many. But in this world, or in this country, or in this location, we're one of very few that believe in the harmonious of one body. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here, to be honest with you, to fulfill the fact that Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in him, Christ is in all of us. It's just that, you know, I was telling Josh out there today, I said, the reason people don't go into it is because sometimes they don't want to surrender. You know, when people have rights, they think that's the ultimate thing. But with God, for you to have given away your rights to him, to surrender to his will, is the ultimate thing. I mean, of course, we need broken vessels to do that. And sometimes, you know, my sister Pat, now I'm going to say this quiet, Kenny, she said, I hate people seeing me cry. I said, you know why? I said, because you don't want that refreshing of the Holy Ghost to appear to them, but you want it to appear to you. She goes, what? I said, that's how it happened. I said, it's like a refreshing going on. When tears of joy or tears of sadness or whatever the tears are come out of us, God's ready to refresh us with newness of life. That he said, that's what I've been waiting on, that old to get out, and so I can put that new in. And I mean, we're vessels, let's face it, we're older vessels, Mike, we're older vessels that have cherished a new wine within us. You know, and he didn't do away with the vessel to have the new wine. He just filled the old vessel up with new wine.
Quicken our mortal body.
I mean, and that's what it's doing. And I believe that's what it's doing. But this scripture here, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I believe that. Old things are passed away. I believe that. And all things become new. And I believe that. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is in our walk, I don't believe we have to worry about that second death or even be, I might as well say it the way I feel it. People are consumed with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are fearful, so fearful of that. If your name, let me say this, if your name is written in the book of the Lamb, your name's written there twice. If you've accepted God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, it's your name's written twice. And I tell people, I say, it's more important that your name be written twice than just once. You know, once is a mortal man. And, you know, I told the kids years ago, I said, on that whatever it be that acknowledges whoever lies here. And I said, I believe that when that thing goes into end date, we shouldn't put an end date on that. Because that's for eternity. I told you last week, I believe in here, we are now in eternity. We're already living in eternity. I mean, what has really death got to do with any of this? It's nothing. Life's got to do everything with it. Well, anyway, I just think that that right there, in my opinion, shows us and tells us that when all old things passed away, we're talking about that law and that other stuff that would just hold on to you and put a stranglehold on you. Yes. Now, is that an amen or is that wrong?
Mm-hmm. That's an amen.
I mean, it's just... And you, people are hungry. And what they're hungry for is not the old. They're hungry for something new. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Well, I think it also in that first group of paragraphs, several times it says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He committed us into a word of reconciliation. And then he says, I beseech you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
Right.
It has never once been said in the Word of God, God reconciled himself to the world. God has always been reconciled
That's right.
to the world.
Sure.
It is the world who has not been reconciled to God. And the reason they are not reconciled to God is because they do not understand. It's an understanding of God's ways, of how great his love is, how he works all things out according to his own good pleasure.
It says his own counsel.
Yes, his own counsel. And that he is in control and that he does love us all and that there is a plan and that it has it has nothing to do with the work of our, it has nothing to do with our works and shame and sin and remorse, and it has nothing to do with that because Christ reconciled the world unto himself. Whether you know it or not, your sin has been dealt with. It is not even up for discussion any longer. Whether that sin be yesterday, today, or tomorrow, in God, in eternal God, there is no time. All sin has been dealt with in Christ once and for all, once and for all men, once and for all time, and for eternity. And if the world does not allow you yet to see that great truth, you will see that great truth. So rest in that truth. Whether your emotions can let you see it yet or not, you will come. You, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And not to be whipped into submission to do it, but to do it because of the abundance of the realization of the truth of it.
Today we fully surrender. Mm-hmm. Our mind to the will of God. What a day that will be.
Yes.
You gave me a new indication of the world when you said not about the world or about this, or but if we let them hold something over. The thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. You just described the world. Mm-hmm. If you get entrapped in that, that's exactly what it is to do. First of all, because it don't want to give you up as part of, it's like a drug deal or whatever. They don't want to give you up. I'd rather see you dead than give you up. But of course, if you had the right to have your way, you don't want to die. I mean, you know, I've done a couple people's graduations where they have taken their lives. And I have felt in that graduation the spirit of wanting to commit suicide. Matter of fact, in one, I left the podium and went over into another room and addressed the whole thing about that. This is not God's will in this. That's a lie. This is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, grant them life. Let them know what the newness and the freshness of life is. You know, because they just seen their friend. And then you go and people, you know, like, We were at the grave, and I was done. And the guy that was doing the funeral director said, "Why ain't they leaving?" I said, "'Cause this guy didn't die of cancer. He didn't die over a long period of time. He was with them one day, and the next day he was no more. They didn't know how to say goodbye." I thought I brought him to that when I was at the grave, because, you know, will you see him again? You know, we're seed planters. We got to plant seeds wherever God tells us to plant seeds. You know, I said, they don't know how to say goodbye. I said, so leave them stay there. I said, they're fine. I said, they'll leave on their own. But they didn't know how to leave because it had happened so suddenly. And I mean, it just came to steal, kill, and destroy. Who are you dealing with when it comes to kill, steal, and destroy? The Bible's clear on who that is. Like, the accuser of the brother comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who is that? It's only one thing. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit that would cause division. It's the same spirit that would everything's people and say, well, we got to get these people going and get them going after one another. If you want to get them going in the spirit, we got to teach forgiveness. We got to teach peace. We got to teach understanding. You brought that word up. The word understanding, the scripture says, he that lacks understanding, let him ask of God. He that needs knowledge, let him ask of God. Why? And you've heard Oscar many times says sometimes he don't read certain things or listen to certain things. Why? He said, because he wants the direction to come from God. And I think he's been really true in that and great in that and teaching us that. That if we would just listen to hear what the Spirit has to say, we might be led in a different way. I mean, you know, somebody ruffle you at home or something, they ruffle you up and you go like, oh, I gotta get them back or whatever. But the truth is, let it lay. What? I mean, I was telling buddy, I said, there's no, why are you? Argue over what? Brother Shepherd used to say, in 100 years, what really matter?
I love that.
And he brought about to an area where you can almost think of 100 years. When somebody says 1,000 years, what will matter? I don't know enough about that. But how about this? In 30 seconds, a little child be crying, and he's mad at somebody else. 30 seconds later, they're out there playing. The only people it matters to is the parents and the grandparents. Why are they playing together? Well, I'm tickled death that they're playing together. They're actually doing what we should learn to do. Forgive on time, right now. Anyway.
Well, when I read this, I keep thinking, man, we should be jumping for joy when it says, he's a new creature and old things are past and all things become new. And we should be jumping for joy because every day we are renewed.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what happened yesterday.
That's right.
It's gone.
That's right.
Take it away. And I become a new person every day. And that is a joy for me because it gives me peace in my life.
That's right.
You know, I don't have to worry about, okay, I did something yesterday and fret about it. And don't get me wrong, I probably will anyhow, but it doesn't linger on. It's gone, you know, it's okay. It happened.
You know, I like that. I like where it says that his mercies are new and afresh every day. That's saying it to a people that really want to hear it.
Yes.
But let's take it and say, hey, those people aren't hearing that. And then if you want to put the mirror on it, you'd say, because are they witnessing it within my life? I mean, we have accountability here.
They are hearing it because no one's telling them.
That's right. I tell people, I said, you don't know how many times. I remember my mom, and I know I talk probably too much about her, but I remember my mom being gone. Here I was, a little kid coming home from school, and she was at the door. She was in the house every day I came home. One day I found the home empty. I came back out on the porch, and I started crying. I was probably 12 years old. She come up, I seen her coming out of the side of my eye from the neighbors. She said, what in the world are you crying about? I said, Mom, you've always been home. I said, you weren't home when I came in. I yelled, Mom, and I searched the house for her. She goes, son, our neighbor was sick. I felt like I was supposed to take her something to eat. I've been next door. She said, listen, if I'm not home, she said, I'm out doing what I'm supposed to do. I said, okay. Tears went away. That's why. Oh. But the whole thing was, I mean, the impact. I don't believe we know the impact that we have on our family, our mm-hmm. friends, our neighbors, the people that we meet at the grocery store, the trash men, whoever you meet. It's the fact that we have the opportunity to get to. We get to have a positive influence on people. We can see, I was telling buddy, we can see somebody's having just a down day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know what? That person, and I'm saying take the chance because it's worth it. That person might want to say something that they wouldn't mean to say. Maybe you're the outlet they could say it to and not hurt anybody, not hurt you. You not take offense to it because you understand the stress they're under. So, you know, walk over, be the outlet. Let them. Because it's better they say something to you than it is somebody else that they really are grudging against, because they're liable not to control that. So in the world, I say God's put us in this world to be a deterrent to other people. Not to see, but to see.
Well, you know, Clyde, when you were talking about mercies, his mercies are new every day. I think there are a lot of Christians out there that don't believe they're worthy of that. And that's why they don't understand it, and that's why they don't see it. Because even though they may be Christians, and even though they may know Christ, they still don't think they're worth his mercy. Look at, you know, okay, I know God, I know Christ, but look what I did. It's the guilt thing that is what controls us.
I tell you what, Mike, I'll look at you and I'll look at everybody else and say, I'll watch you fall down, but I'm cheering for you to get up. I'm actually watching for you to get up more than I am watching you to fall down. Anybody can fall down. Oh, yeah, well, he said, see how he walks it. I had a guy one time at work say, there's something different about you. And I walked up to him. I didn't know this guy that well. I said, well, I'll tell you what. You take the next 2 weeks. You watch me every day. If you see something you don't like, I'll repent. 2 weeks later, he come up to me and go, I don't know what it is, but you seem to be happy all the time. I was telling Josh a story. The boss gave me, we had a union shop. Union shop is you can't do something to a senior guy that you don't do to a junior guy. Basically, that's how it is. This guy overlooked my seniority. I had 10 years on this guy. He should have sent him out, sent me. And I go like this. I said, okay, God. I still know God's in control. I go like this. I said, okay, God. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing to the boss. Don't fight it. Let it go. Go down and do what he wants you to do. So I went down and did what he wanted to do. Worst job, filthiest job ever. Within 10 minutes, I was singing.
And I was laughing and I was shoveling. In an 8-hour job, I knocked that out 6 hours and the place was spotless. He come down there and said, Clyde. I go, yeah? He said, I got to say something to you. I said, okay. He said, I could have swore I seen you laughing and singing and just enjoying yourself on the worst job I could have ever gave you. And I go like this, well, I said, I was. I said, I was singing and I was laughing and I was praising God. Because see, God's who I work for. And because I work for God, He wants you to know that's what God in me makes you look really good. That's the purpose of working, is that they would see Jesus. And if they can't see Him while you're at work, you think they're ever going to see Him when you're at home or anything else? They're looking for Him. But, you know, He breaks down walls. All we got to do is be willing to, let's see, sheep for the slaughter, or whatever you want to say it is. But you know what? We're honored to be that. It's an honor to be chosen of God to let Him do whatever He wants.
Let's read a little in Colossians here. Who wants to volunteer on this lake of fire and brimstone?
I'll read it. Right okay. Here. What's on here, you mean?
What is on Oscar's?
Thing. All right. Colossians
this
1,
is good.
14 to 29.
Mm-hmm.
King James Version.
Great.
In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible.
Uh-huh.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him to say whether they are things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled.
Yes.
In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. But if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
Amen.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. That is,
isn't that great?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Do you like how in 27, I guess Oscar said it's typed to do that. to Mystery Among the Gentiles, which is, and you emphasized it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I really think that
yes.
You do know this was Paul speaking, right?
Yeah.
Now, where did he get 29? Whereunto I also labor. Christ is, Paul saying he is laboring, striving according to his working. Who's his working in that? That's right, that's right. Which worketh in me mightily. Otherwise, he's crediting the one that's working in him. Mm-hmm. And he's saying it's mightily he's working in me. That's where I think maybe people don't understand, Kathy. God's working mightily in our behalf to overcome, to be the overcomer that we're supposed mm-hmm. to be. I mean, you know, and that's going to work out when you understand his word, when you read his word. When we gain in word, we gain in power. Yeah. But what, that's why.
I hate to say it. That's why, I don't understand why the Sunday school class is not full. I mean, I don't know anyone, and maybe it's not for me to know, anyone that has it all without participating in the work. We're to encourage each other in the work. We're at your, hey, you could love that. We're to encourage each other in our labors, in the functions, in what you do, in your, hey, I want to encourage you in every thought that you have. Not imagination, I'm talking about the thought that you have. Because the thought that you have is what proceeds out of his mouth. When you have his thought, where'd you get that? Everybody wants to know, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? And you can go to scripture and says, well, we have the mind. You know, you have. But then it's, I try to tell Josh, it's about practicing his presence. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you practice his presence? I don't think you can practice it in a crowded room because you haven't practiced it alone. I believe the alone time is the greatest time you have with God. And when you have that alone time, then that alone time will expand to a greater and mightier work in you to where it can fill a room. Mm-hmm. But it's got to fill this room first.
To where no matter where you are, you're alone with God.
Right, that's right, that's right.
Is it to because you're single-minded, single-eyed?
I got a song in the presence. Jewel, I think, sang that the best or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's a tremendous song. Why is it a tremendous song? Because it's the word living. It's a living word. I mean, you know, anyway.
But when you think about people, you know, why aren't here? But we are drawn by our hunger. We really are. I mean, if we're not hungering and thirsting after him, we're where we are.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
And it was trials and tribulations that gave us the hunger and thirst for the things that we longed for and couldn't acquire on our own.
Sometimes it is him that is really drawing you and creating that hunger in you, because we didn't just decide, well, I want the Lord, I'm going to get saved. We came because right. He drew us.
That's right, and it says that.
I was looking at this where it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brother Eddie used to say that, Christ in you, used to say that, saying it and declaring it to you, and believing it and wanting you to be assured that it was Christ in you. And he was in the hospital, I don't know what hospital, downtown somewhere, when we were at the old church. And after church, me and Betty and Sue went to see him. And when we came in the room, he lit up and he said, praise the Lord. And he said, yes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so true. And I think we should look at others, declaring it to them and believing it for them.
That's the key. Yes. To believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Not just looking for it, but to believe it. Mm-hmm.
I had a guy years ago down the knife company, so it's a long time ago. Church of God guy. He came up to me and said, Klein, he said, you're a Christian. I go, yeah. He said, I got a question to ask you. He said, I want you to go up. He said, first of all, I'm going to tell you, you probably don't need an answer. I said, okay. He said, well, I want you to go home and read the Bible and come back and tell me tomorrow. I said, okay. He said, you remember the story where there wasn't enough room for the people to get into Jesus because the room was crowded? He said, they went up the side of the building and they took that roof off. He said, they lowered that man down. He said, my question is, who did Jesus say faith healed him? I said, okay. And I probably knew the answer, but I wanted to make sure I get it word for word. And I came back to him, I said, you're right. He said, let it be to you according to their faith, them that lowered you down.
Oh, right.
Now, what I'm telling Josh that. I said, what's that tell you? It says their faith healed that man, but he had to believe their faith. Okay? So a lot of people say, oh, what good's my faith? Oh, I don't tell you, your faith can move mountains. And maybe it's the mountain that it's nothing to you, but it's a mountain to them. And he's wanting them to believe on your faith. Now, I told Josh, I said, first of all, if I'm the house owner, I'd probably be upset to tear my house up. Second, after that, that thought would have completely gone away when I seen that man get up out of that bed and walk. Oh, it's worth it. I mean, you know, I couldn't believe it didn't explode off, you know, because they had to tear it off. But let's face it. They were willing to do that. To not only carry a man, let's put it this way, carry a man when he couldn't walk. Had no hope of getting in. They had to be his hope going up those steps. They ripped that roof off. They lowered him down. They expected. They came expecting God to do that which he'd been doing. And you know what? My God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did it before, he's going to do it again.
And they were moved by love.
That's right.
Because of, you know, you said, of course, believing and you know, their faith. But what moved was really love, their love for this individual.
Well, if they didn't love him, they wouldn't have been carrying him.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Love carried him in.
Yeah.
Faith healed him. Praise the Lord. Oh.
I made a giant monster.
Do you want to read? I'd like to get into the lake of fire a little bit here. We got about 5-10 minutes.
All right.
I'm just, Mike, you want to read it or you feel a lot?
No, I don't want to read it.
Okay. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, King James Version. Because this is what we were talking about, that the second death and the lake of fire, you know, were the, well, the same thing? Anyway, you know what I mean, the judgment, after that, the judgment. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know, the interesting thing about this is that the word shall should be used with the word I, and the word will shall be used, should be used with the word he. I just, that jumped out at me. I remember it from English grammar with the nominative. If you're speaking about yourself, you say I shall, but he will. But if you want to make special emphasis on it, you reverse it. Instead of him saying, I shall be your God and you will be my people, he says, I will be his God. I will be his God. And he shall be my son. That's he that overcometh. Now I wonder, is there anybody that is not going to overcome? Not if God is true and every man a liar. Because he's not willing that any should perish.
You know what? I'd almost challenge you to ask the question,
What will stop the overcomer from overcoming? Disbelief has got so much stranglehold on people. But God, through Jesus, went the other step. When, who was it? Doubting Thomas? Yeah, that's how I know the name, Doubting Thomas. When Doubting Thomas didn't believe, he was willing, and I tell people this is the kind of God we serve, he was willing to prove who he was to him. And I still believe God's still willing to prove himself to whoever calls on him. I mean, you know, what did he say? He said, unless I touch the scar nail in his hand and pierce, you know, his side, he goes, I won't believe. And first thing Jesus said to him when he appeared unto him, let's see, here. Here. And then he said what? He said, blessed are those who believe and don't see, and those that see and believe. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he was saying, it can happen to you. But I had, it was almost like a special provision for one out of, what, 11, I guess, by then, or was it 12, that he was willing to do it. So if he's willing to do it to them, I believe Jesus loves us just as much as he did them. I think he'd be willing to do it for us. I mean, if that's what it takes. Well, anyway, it's tremendous here.
Let's go on. But the fearful, these are the guys that are going to have their part in the lake of fire, okay? But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Is there a man on planet Earth that is not, has not been a liar? So if you are, this is something to me, this is my opinion, it's describing a person who's still in a state of mistaken identity. He still sees himself as a liar and a fearful person and a murderer, a whoremonger, a sorcerer. This is that person, and they're going to have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why is that? Because it has to burn all that unbelief out of them. It has to give them their true identity. It has to show them who they really are.
Purification.
Through the idea, this is the second death. Through the idea of the nearness of shore. And I saw that too in here. It says the lake of fire means nearness to shore. They're near to the shore. It's a pond, large or small, a lake. Apparently a primary verb to set on fire, to kindle, or by implication, consume. Our God is a consuming fire. Mm-hmm. Burn light. Fire, literal or figuratively. Especially lightning, fiery fire, to kindle a fire. Those are the words for that idea of the lake of fire and brimstone. Okay, theos, in its original sense of flashing, sulfur, brimstone, godlike, divine godhead. Divinity, deity, not only used by the Greeks to denote the divine nature, power, providence in the general Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament, apparently equivalent to divine incense, because burning brimstone, woo, was regarded, ready for this, as having the power to purify. It's not to punish. It is not to kill. It is not to torment. It is to purify. Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. You know what, guys? I think it's about time to stop. It's about 5 till. We got no more time. Father, thank you for this.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Father, thank you for giving us, even if it's just partial, the understanding to conceive of what this word means.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, to understand that all of your thoughts toward us are good, that all of your thoughts toward us are fine and pure,
yes,
loving. And Father, help us to just react to the knowledge of the God that whose glory covers the earth, and not to lean to our own understanding,
yes,
Father, but in all things acknowledge you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
That was a long time for a young man to be